Arbor at Fillmore Street. This is FieldPod.com, the week in Georgia, in English, coming to you from the GUI Center of San Francisco, California, after a very long trip. Sorry about the double this week. Too much going on in Berlin, Tbilisi, and Tallinn to record last week, but we got it all here now. Today is Thursday, the 18th of May, 2017. On this date, in 1848, Mexico ratifies the Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo that ended the Mexican-American War. According to the treaty, Mexico cedes California, Utah, Nevada, or as they say, Nevada, Nevada, and parts of four other modern-day U.S. states in exchange for $15 million. 1919, the Turkish War of Independence begins when troops led by Mustafa Kemal, later to become Atatürk, land at Samsun on the Black Sea coast. Kemal's Grand National Assembly was a rebel army fighting against the imperial Ottoman government, backed by the UK, France, Greece, and others. 4 years later, Kemal's troops won, overthrowing the Ottoman Sultanate and declaring the Republic of Turkey. 1922, the Soviet Union creates the Young Pioneer Organization. 1963, the New York Post Sunday Magazine publishes Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s letter from a Birmingham jail. 1991, Croatians vote in a referendum to become independent from Yugoslavia. 93% of voters approve. Croatia declares independence on the 25th of June. What's now called the Croatian War of Independence begins shortly thereafter. Birthdays are Mustafa Kemal Atatürk, Ho Chi Minh, and Malcolm X. I'm your host, Mark Mullen. Podcast written by Joe Larson. If you'd like to comment on the forum or ask a question, go to tbilpod.com or send an email to tbilpod@gmail.com. Constitutional Reform Commission, four non-governmental organizations, the International Society for Fair Elections and Democracy, or ISFED, Georgia Young Lawyers Association, or GYLA, the hardest working NGO in the South Caucasus, Transparency International Georgia, who did all the work as usual, and the Open Society Georgia Foundation submitted a joint assessment of the Constitutional Reform Commission to the Venice Commission, a body within the Council of Europe that oversees constitutional matters. All four organizations participate in the Constitutional Reform Commission, and their assessment is not positive. The proposed rule for allocating undistributed mandates is a particular problem, as we've discussed quite a bit here. It's unfair and it degrades any positive results from abolishing the majoritarian electoral system, which would be a positive step if done right. Also, the abolition of electoral blocks coupled with the decision to maintain the percent threshold raises the risk that a number of the undistributed mandates will be high, which harms chances for a pluralistic parliament. The NGOs also express readiness to cooperate with the Venice Commission, which will probably come out with a report soon. By the way, I heard when I was in Tbilisi that one of the negotiated deals was if the party that gets the most number of votes, a plurality, they'll have a hard time forming a government without building coalitions, and that would create instability, which is not true, actually. I mean, that happens all over the world, and they would just have to get together with other parties. It's just that they don't want to have to compromise. What some people are saying is that they'll say, okay, fine, they could go up to 51% of the seats, but not over that if there happens to be a ton of undistributed mandates. The government doesn't seem too good with that. But it would be really much better to force coalition building, which is something that Georgia has always had challenges with. Anyway, two more political parties, the Republicans and Free Democrats, joined the Movement for Liberty European Georgia in demanding a plebiscite on abolishing direct elections with the president on changing procedures for electing MPs. Free Democrats are going to join European Georgia's public campaign to raise public support for a plebiscite. President Mark Velashvili continued to criticize the constitutional amendments during the Tbilisi strategic discussion event on the 10th of May, a forum for discussing security and foreign policy issues. At the discussion, he focused on the fact that the draft constitution would abolish the National Security Council. The president highlighted the importance of the council, pointing out that the country is still under threat from Russian aggression, so replacing it with the defense council that would only function during wartime would leave Georgia at risk. He also accused the government of replacing the National Security Council with a mere slogan, expressing the country's goal of becoming a NATO member state. Some members of the public are also organizing in opposition to the amendments. A public discussion of the draft constitution was cut short in Tbilisi on the 15th of May when hundreds of young political activists shouted down Parliamentary Speaker Irakli Kobakhidze and others speaking in favor of the amendments. The activists said they were concerned about the proposed amendments to change procedures for electing the president and parliament and provision that would legalize land purchases by foreigners. Also, they criticized the fact that the public discussions organized around the country haven't been inclusive enough. The day after the 16th of May, Public discussions continued. Kobachidze announced that the commission leading the discussion will visit 10 more cities around the country. Zestoponi, Samtredi, Asichnachi, Chulo, Marnauli, Achalkalik, Yozer, Gethipoti, Kazbegi, and Mestia, as well as 10 additional discussions in Tbilisi. Four miners were killed in an accident in Tribouli on the 9th of May when a mine shaft collapsed. Police were investigating whether any safety regulations have been violated. I'm sure there were. The Minister of Economy, Gheorghe Gaharia, assured everyone that the families of the deceased will be compensated by both the company and the government, and that anyone found responsible will be punished. After the incident, public defender Uchananuashvili called members of the government, parliament, and constitutional commission murderers for opposing the creation of an effective labor inspection mechanism. The Georgian Trade Union Confederation called on the government to create a viable labor inspection agency to protect the rights of workers. President Margvelashvili admitted the current labor protection mechanism aren't strong enough to prevent industrial disasters and that action needs to be taken. The evening of the tragedy, members of the student group Auditorium 115 held a demonstration in Tbilisi, gathering near the parliament building in Tbilisi. Clashes happened when police stepped in to prevent protesters from blocking Rustaveli Avenue. Three people were arrested. Several protesters also demonstrated outside the home of the owners of the company, Georgian Industrial Group, which employs about 1,500 people, mostly in Tribouli. Miners working for the company went on strike in 2016, claiming they were forced to work in harsh conditions. The strike ended after the workers were promised a pay raise. According to data from the Interior Ministry, 58 people were killed in workplace accidents last year. EU Special Representative for the South Caucasus, Herbert Salber, visited Tkhinvali on the 16th of May, where, according to news reports, he congratulated new South Ossetian President Anatoly Bibilov on winning the election last month. Tbilisi is not happy. Deputy Foreign Minister David Dondua called the action by Salber incomprehensible and unacceptable. Some officials are even angrier. Salome Zurabashvili, an independent MP, called on the government to declare Salber persona non grata and demand the EU withdraw him from the post. On Wednesday, EU Ambassador to Georgia Janos Herman was summoned to the Ministry of Foreign Affairs to discuss the incident. Herman did his best to defuse the situation, reiterating that the EU does not recognize the election results in South Ossetia and definitely does recognize Georgia's sovereignty over the region. He didn't comment on why Salber visited Tkhinvali, however, saying the special representative needs to answer that question himself. Travel to and from Georgia Prime Minister Kvitikashvili and Foreign Minister Mikhail Janelidze were in Washington, D.C. on the 8th and 9th of May, meeting with U.S. President Donald Trump, Vice President Mike Pence, Secretary of State Rex Tillerson. They also met with heads of various Senate committees and think tanks. During the visit, Prime Minister and Secretary Tillerson signed a General Security of Information Agreement, which created the legal foundation for sharing intelligence between the two countries, especially on counterterrorism, so that Trump can blurt them out to the Russians in the Oval Office. It is expected to enhance Georgia's military interoperability with NATO member states. After the trip to the U.S., Prime Minister went to Estonia to meet with his counterpart, Jüri Ratas. They mostly discussed preparations for the Eastern Partnership Summit coming up later this year in Brussels. European Commissioner for European Neighborhood Policy and Enlargement Negotiations, Johannes Hahn, visited Georgia on the 5th of May, as we discussed. During his visit, Hahn met with Prime Minister and other officials to discuss implementation of the association agreement and preparation for the Eastern Partnership Summit in Brussels later this year, which is a big deal. Former Moscow Mayor Yuri Luzhkov arrived in Georgia on the 7th of May for an unannounced visit, something that sparked controversy after the priest Serafim Bit Haribi posted photos of the former Moscow mayor on his Facebook page. Luzhkov is not well-liked in Georgia because of his staunch support for the independence of Abkhazia and South Ossetia and his past visits to both territories and because he is a corrupt dimwit. Both the National Movement and European Georgia called on the authorities to arrest Luzhkov on grounds that he has previously violated the law in occupied territories by entering the occupied territories through Russia rather than through checkpoints administered by Tbilisi, last time in 2010. This time he arrived in Tbilisi by private plane. He told Imedi TV that he didn't know he had violated the law and that he's sorry. Deputy Minister of Internal Affairs Shalva Khutsashvili said that Luzhkov won't be arrested and that he arrived with a valid passport that didn't contain any evidence of past violations of the law on the occupied territory, so the passport control had no grounds to deny him entry. Lushkov returned to Russia on Monday. Interestingly, a close friend who used to be in the border guard said that the way immigration system works, it would require a call in his particular case. So it must have been a political decision to let him go, to let him in. There's no way around that with the passport that he has. U.S. Congress passed a new budget on the 7th of May. It includes two things that are especially relevant to Georgia. First, it contains a provision to deny U.S. aid funds to any country that officially recognizes Abkhazia and South Ossetia as an independent as independent states. Currently, only four countries do so: Russia, Venezuela, Nicaragua, and Nauru. And none of them are on friendly terms with the U.S. anyway, so it's a bit of a PR stunt connected to Kvitikashvili's 20-second photo op with Trump. However, Nuaru had been an aid recipient and now will be cut off unless they pull their recognition. Nino Bourgenadze reminded everyone last week that the policy will really only affect one country. But it's symbolically important. The $1.1 trillion budget also includes $100 million to combat Russian influence and aggression, in part by funding civil society organizations in Eastern Partnership countries, including Georgia. During a meeting on the 3rd of May, the Committee of Ministers of the Council of Europe restarted discussions about Georgia's unresolved conflicts. Following the meeting, the Council issued a statement reaffirming its unequivocal support of all of the Council of Europe member states for the sovereignty and territorial integrity of Georgia within its internationally recognized borders. Council also criticized recent elections and referendums in Abkhazia and South Ossetia, saying they impede peaceful conflict resolution, undermine efforts to strengthen security and stability in the region, clearly violate Georgia's sovereignty and territorial integrity, and have no legal validity. Also, Russia's integration treaties with both territories have no legal validity. It also criticized Russia for expanding and reinforcing the administrative boundary lines, which divide families and communities, violate human rights and fundamental freedoms, and complicate settlements of the conflict. Predictably, Russia slammed the Council statement, saying that it is prejudiced and reaches an absurd level of divergence from reality. Russia blamed Georgia and its Western allies for the lack of progress on conflict resolution and said that it will reconsider continuing the Geneva international discussion given the lack of progress. Ho, 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 ho! Georgian troops are participating in the Spring Storm NATO defense drills in Estonia, which will wrap up on the 26th of May. More than 9,000 troops from 14 countries are participating. Of those, 400 are from Georgia. Georgia and Finland are the only non-NATO member countries participating. David Sikharulidze, a Georgian citizen fighting with the Adar battalion in Ukraine, was killed in combat on the 11th of May. Sikharulidze previously served at the Kurtsanisi National Training Center from 2010 to 14 before going to Ukraine to fight against the Russians, Russian invasion there. Abkhazian Foreign Minister Daur Kove said in an interview he was invited to attend the National Prayer Breakfast in the U.S. back in February, but his visa application has been denied. He said he was invited by two U.S. senators he did not name. That hasn't been confirmed by outside sources, however. National Prayer Breakfast is organized every year by the Fellowship Foundation on behalf of U.S. Congress. It's an unofficial meeting, usually attended by major U.S. politicians and foreign dignitaries. South Ossetia has a new head for its cabinet of ministers, Edik Pukhaev, who was appointed this week by new president Anatoly Bibilov. All 32 parliament ministers endorsed the nomination. Pukhaev served as deputy head under the previous administration. Russia and South Ossetia exchanged notes on the 12th of May on ratifying an agreement by which Russia will make pension payments to Russian citizens living in South Ossetia. Pensioners will receive 10,410 rubles per month, which is about 43 cents, just kidding, about $185 at the current exchange rate, which is the same amount received by pensioners in the North Caucasus Federal District of the Russian Federation. Earlier this year, Russia issued an order on covering the salaries of South Ossetian and Abkhazian public servants as well. Government hired Rasky Partners to lobby for its interests in Washington, D.C. Rasky is led by David Tomasi, who previously worked as the finance chair for the Trump Victory Fund, a fundraising committee for Donald Trump's presidential campaign. Contract is for $30,000 per month from May to August of this year, according to The Hill, which reported the story. That's a fairly cost-friendly deal. According to the press release, Rasky will work to strengthen bilateral relations between the Georgian government and U.S. Congress, presidential administration with the goals of securing more political security support for the country, as well as more foreign direct investment. Yeah, right. In addition to that, Otsneva has its own team of lobbyists working with the U.S., Pillsbury, Winthorpe, Shaw, Pittman, which is on a retainer also for $30,000 a month. 17th of May was the International Day Against Homophobia and Transphobia. A small demonstration was held in Tbilisi near the government building. Roughly 200 demonstrators included LGBT activists, representatives of NGOs, and concerned citizens. Police guaranteed the event security and no violence occurred. A coalition of 12 human rights organizations issued a press release to coincide with the event, pointing out that while the government has passed some legislation to protect LGBT people in Georgia, anti-LGBT attitudes and hate crimes are on the rise, so more work needs to be done. Sopio Chaminade, President Chaminade, the president's advisor on religious and ethnic minority issues, attended the demonstration. She said that while it's a good thing that LGBT people and activists can exercise free speech, she acknowledged that they don't yet have equal rights and that they are often victims of irrational phobias. Also on the 17th of May, the Orthodox Church and related groups held a demonstration for Family Purity Day along Roosevelt Avenue, basically a counter-demonstration for International Day Against Homophobia and Transphobia, or Idaho Day. During the demonstration, Patriarch Ilya II, going all retro, gave a speech about the importance of hierarchy within the family, that the husband must be the head of the family, whatever that means. Georgian Red Cross began a new round of excavations to uncover and identify the remains of people who went missing during the wars of 1990s and 2008 war. The organization will excavate 30 grave sites between May and August, located in Shida Kartli, Imereti, Abkhazia, and outside Tbilisi. They expect to find the remains of about 150 missing persons. Bodies of 249 people were recovered between 2010 and 16, of which 107 have been identified and returned to their families for burial. Chairman of the State Audit Office, Lasha Tordia, was attacked in downtown Tbilisi on the 12th of May. He was at El Centro, a bar near Freedom Square that's popular with government officials. According to reports, he was attacked by four or five men and later had to be sent to the hospital where he was diagnosed with a concussion. Interestingly, the staff at El Centro denied that any such incident happened at the bar. Tordia accused Otar Partskhaladze, a former chief prosecutor, of assaulting him in an act of personal revenge. Tordia is currently investigating Partskhaladze for corruption, looking into allegations that he received land plots free of charge from the Tbilisi municipal government. For his part, Partskhaladze released a public letter saying that Tordia was extremely drunk and that he started the altercation. He also accused Tordia of violating his rights by declaring him to be guilty before the case has gone to court. About 40 road construction workers went on strike on the 3rd of May, claiming they hadn't been paid in 3 months. The workers went back to work on the 8th, but said if they aren't paid by the 17th of May, the strike will continue. The workers were hired to renovate a 8.5-kilometer section of road between Batumi and Akhaltsikhe. They've been working on the project since 2016, saying that in 8 months of work, they've received late paychecks almost every month. The construction project is funded by the Ministry of Infrastructure, but being implemented by Chelyabinsk Transsignal, a construction company. According to the government, the company has been paid, so it's responsible for paying its own workers. Amendments to the Universal Health Care Program went into effect on the 5th of May, which mostly concerned people, which people are eligible for which services. For example, a person earning between 12,000 and 40,000 lari per year must choose between private or public insurance. If they have private insurance, they're not eligible for any public services except for in special circumstances like cesareans, bizarrely, or cancer treatment. For people in that group who choose to participate in the public scheme, they'll have access only to limited services. People earning more than 40,000 lari per year won't be able to access the state health care program at all. People earning less than 12,000 lari per month will be able to use both public and private services. Government decided to limit the number of people who can benefit from the state program in order to allocate funding to providing more services and to subsidize medications for the country's insecure and chronically ill people. Georgia and China finally put pen to paper on the free trade agreement they negotiated last year. It still needs to be ratified, but it's expected to go into effect in late 2017, early 2018. Under the agreement, 96.5% of the Chinese products currently imported into Georgia will be exempted from the tariffs. On the other side, 90.9% of Georgian products will be able to enter China tariff-free. Another 3% will be exempt within 5 years. Those percentages refer to the different classifications of products, not the volume of products imported, of course. It's the first free trade agreement China has signed in the region. The Asian Development Bank, ADB, increased its line of available credit from $200 to $350 million available over the next 3 years. Georgia became a member of the bank in 2007, and since then it has provided about $1.62 billion in funding. EBRD published a new growth forecast for its regional economic prospects report. The bank expects Georgia's GDP to grow by 3.9% in 2017, which is unchanged from its projection in November 2016. It expects the country's GDP to grow by 4.2% in 2018. Growth in the wider region is expected to be supported by Russia's recovery from recession. The rating agency Fitch gave the Georgian Oil and Gas Corporation a BB- rating for its bonds maturing in 2017 and 2021, calling the company's outlook stable. In its forecast, Fitch took into consideration the company's plan to build a $250 million underground gas storage facility, construction scheduled to begin in 2019. According to a report by Kommersant, the country's commercial banks took in 21 million lari in fines and penalties from customers during the first 3 months of 2017. Liberty Bank took in the most at 7.23 million lari, with TBC Bank coming in second at 4.54 million. It's worth noting that Liberty Bank made the most money from fines, even though the value of its loans was way less than that of TBC Bank and Bank of Georgia. Kazakh company Eskat Airlines plans to expand flights to Tbilisi, Kutaisi, and Batumi. The Aktau-Kutaisi-Aktau route will be made each Tuesday and Thursday starting on the 22nd of May, while the Aktau-Batumi-Aktau flights will be performed 4 times a week on Wednesday, Fridays, and Saturdays and Sundays. Taban Airlines, an Iranian company, will start making 2 flights a week between Tehran and Tbilisi on the 22nd of May. The route will operate every day except Saturdays. The Iranian airline Zagros increased the number of weekly flights between Tbilisi and Tehran to 7 starting on Wednesday. Zagros first entered the Georgian market last year. Joint Georgian-Chinese enterprise Lazi will soon begin exporting tea to China. Currently, Lazi employs about 150 people harvesting and processing tea in Salangjiha District, Samigarelo region. The Chinese side has put about $80,000 into the enterprise, which was supported by the government's Georgian Tea Plantation Rehabilitation Program. The annual Synodok Tbilisi Film Festival took place over the past week. The winners were announced on Wednesday. Polish filmmaker Pavel Lozinski's film You Have No Idea How Much I Love You won the main prize, International Competition Award. It was also voted the best film by viewers. Shorena Tevzadze's Didube, The Last Stop, which is fantastic and definitely worth seeing, won the main prize of the Focus Caucuses competition. French and Italian filmmakers are collaborating on the rugby film Negative Numbers, which is based on the true story of two former professional rugby players who used the sport to help juvenile offenders escape lives of crime. Film's director is Uta Beria. Production will start in September. The project is supported by the Film in Georgia program. Parliamentary news. The special parliamentary group has been formed to address online gambling by minors, which is a huge problem. Group will prepare and propose changes to the law on gambling in order to prevent underage people from taking part in the activity. Underage gambling has gotten a lot of attention over the past couple of years as a social problem. Meme this week is a video by Geofolk Band. The vocal group performs a polyphonic version of Dream On by Aerosmith, who are performing at Black Sea Arena on Saturday. Stuff to read. Onik Krikorian writes for Stratfor's Worldview about relations between ethnic Armenians and Azerbaijanis in Georgia. Governments in both Yerevan and Baku have put out a narrative that members of either nation are ethnically incompatible wherever they live, including Georgia. Fortunately, in this country, the situation isn't so grim. Co-inhabited villages such as Tsopi near Marnauli show that Armenians and Azerbaijanis can coexist. Most of the village's residents speak both Armenian and Azerbaijani. The only visible difference is that the Tsopi's Christian residents raise pigs while the Muslims do not. The problem, Tsopi is home to only about 200 families and economic conditions are poor. The village and others like it in Georgia haven't received any of the international donor money committed to bridging the divide between Armenians and Azerbaijanis. If Tsopi and other multi-ethnic villages such as nearby Hojourny fail, it will be because of economics, not ethnic strife. Georgi Lomsadze writes for Eurasianet about Georgia's hepatitis C elimination program. Under the program, about 130,000 people are being treated free of charge with medications donated by Gilead Sciences, a U.S.-based company. The program launched in 2015. The government hopes that by 2020, hep C will be almost entirely eradicated in the country. About 30,000 people have been treated so far, and doctors expect nearly 90% of them to make a complete recovery. The medication, Sovaldi, is manufactured by Gilead. In the U.S., a 12-week treatment program using Sovaldi can cost up to $84,000. The company's investment in Georgia isn't charity. It's an investment. If the project works, Gilead hopes to convince governments around the world to invest in eliminating programs, significantly raising demand for their product. Tamar Chugoshvili, member of Otsneva and the Constitutional Reform Commission, formerly head of GILA, has an opinion piece in Democracy and Freedom Watch in defense of the constitutional reform. She frames the reforms as finishing the work that was started in 2010, moving the country from a super-presidential system to a full-fledged parliamentary system. In her view, reforms are needed to settle questions about distribution of power between the president and parliament. She also defends banning electoral blocks and maintaining the 5% threshold for entering parliament, things she said prevent stability among parliamentary parties. She also defended the provision about distributing unallocated seats to the winning party, again, in the interest of stability. It's worth reading in full, even though it's wrong. The reforms won't make Georgia's parliament more stable. They will make it less pluralistic. Eurasianet has an interview with Misha, who defends U.S. President Donald Trump, embarrassingly, saying that Russian President Vladimir Putin sniffs out and preys upon weak people, but Trump isn't one. Uh-huh. Misha is also optimistic that the U.S. government will continue its support of the Ukraine government. The only problem is that Ukraine currently looks like a failing asset. Pew Research publishes a study on the religious beliefs and national belonging and on religious belief and national belonging and Central Eastern Europe. And there's a lot of interesting stuff about Georgia. Overall, Orthodox countries tend to be more conservative than Catholic countries. Georgia is a good example. 99% of Georgians believe in God, 89% identify as Orthodox Christian, 90% think homosexuality is morally wrong, only Armenians and Moldovans are more likely to feel that way, and only 3% think same-sex marriage should be legal. Both those under 35 and those over are extremely opposed to same-sex marriage with almost no variance. Also interesting, 52% of Georgians think a strong Russia is needed to balance Western influence. And 62% think Russia has the responsibility to protect Orthodox Christians around its borders. When asked whether they recognize the Patriarch of Moscow or the Patriarch of Constantinople as the highest authority in the Orthodox Church, 93% of Georgians said neither. The spot is reserved for Ilya II. Freedom House publishes its Nations in Transit report for Georgia 2017. The report is by Michael Cicieri. Its overall democracy score is 4.61%, unchanged from last year and leaving it in the partly free category. The country scored worse on national democratic governance and local democratic governance. However, according to Cicieri, the areas of greatest concern for Georgia's democratic consolations are independence of media and judiciary. While the media landscape is broadly pluralistic and transparent, ongoing legal issues surrounding Rustaviotti put the integrity of the entire sector in doubt. Similarly, guilty verdicts in the so-called cable case were strongly criticized by independent judicial observers. Both cases raised questions over the continued independence of the judiciary and media sector. Writing for The Diplomat, Grath Wyeth covers the so-called recognition game, focusing on the case of Nuaru, a small island nation of the Pacific that faces a hard choice over its recognition of Abkhazia and South Ossetia. Nuaru received $9 million from Russia in 2009 in exchange for recognizing the breakaway territories, and since then, Russian money has come in for a variety of infrastructure projects. However, Nuaru was able to double dip, also getting money from U.S.-backed institutions such as the World Bank and IMF. That could stop due to the new budget passed by the U.S. Congress, which says U.S. tax dollars cannot go to any country that recognizes either breakaway territory. Its leaders now face a tough choice: pull recognition and lose access to Russian aid, or stick with Russia and be isolated from a number of U.S.-funded institutions. White House published its press release in the meeting between Prime Minister Kvitakashvili and Vice President Pence. The Vice President reiterated America's commitment to Georgia's sovereignty and territorial integrity and pledged continued support for Georgia's efforts to integrate with NATO. All this stuff to read is posted on the forum. This week's dive bar number is 164, the number of Georgians who received the honor of Hero of the Soviet Union during the Second World War. About 700,000 Georgians served in the Red Army during the war. Half were killed, around the same number as Americans who were killed in World War II. The country celebrated 72 years since the end of the Second World War on the 9th of May. American rock group Aerosmith is performing at Black Sea Arena on the 20th of May. Tickets are sold out. Shota Adamashvili, who's probably the best country musician in Georgia and a great guy, is performing at Divex Fabrica on Sunday evening at 9 p.m., free to attend. Robin Forestier Walker is putting on a fundraiser for Georgians suffering from mental illness. On the 4th of June, he will swim 1.5 miles from Alcatraz Island to San Francisco to raise awareness about the problem. The money raised will go to two Tbilisi-based charities, GCRT and the McLean Association for Children, to help set up a new program to raise awareness about mental illness in Georgia. They hope to allocate the funds later this year. If you're interested in contributing, search for Escape from Alcatraz for Mental Health in Georgia on generosity.com. So far, they've raised a bit under $2,000 in pledges. The work of six Georgian artists will be featured at the New York Art Expo 2017, the city's largest art exhibition. They're being promoted by Madat Art, an American agency that promotes Georgian art in the U.S. The artists are Tatia Kobreshvili, Tiko Bakhtadze, Nana Gagoshidze, Ekaterina Merbashvili, Tsira Akhobadze, and Lasha Beraya. The exhibition takes place on the 28th of May to the 3rd of June at Jadeite Galleries. World Rugby Under-20 Championship 2017 will take place in Tbilisi and Kutaisi from the 31st of May to the 18th of June, with the final match taking place at Mikhail Meskhi Stadium. The contestants are England, Ireland, Argentina, South Africa, New Zealand, Australia, Wales, Scotland, France, Georgia, Italy, and Samoa. It's the second appearance for the junior Lelos, who first qualified for the Under-20 Championship last year. The Tbilisi Open Air Music Festival is next month from the 16th to the 18th of June. Tickets are available at tkt.ge. It's a huge number of groups performing from Georgia, Europe, and North America. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. Our email is spielpod@gmail.com or post to the forum on our website, www.spielpod.com. And we will finish with 1975, Chicago, Illinois. This is Earth, Wind, and Fire with Shining Star. Yeah. Won't you see?
and star for you to see. What your life can truly be. Shining star for you to see. What your life can truly be. Shining star for you to see. What your life can truly be.